Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and this interview was recorded for the UK Wine Show. For the latest news and terms and conditions, go to ukwineshow.co.uk. Hi, my name's Chris Scott, and I'm here with Tony Lathwaite from Direct Wines. How are you, Tony?
I'm very well.
Excellent. We spoke last week about how you got started in the industry, and we finished up talking a wee bit about growth and some of the issues associated with cash flow. But you were saying just in the break that Barbara, your wife, wouldn't let you grow too fast. Why was that?
One of the things that happened when we were a young company is we nearly lost it, because at one stage we did overtrade. We were just anxious that didn't happen again. We managed to get out of that situation. And, well, Barbara's Scottish. Her father was a wonderful old Scottish accountant of the old school. And, you know, those sort of Scottish things like ne'er a borrow nor lend a bee. And Monsieur Cassin in France, who was the chap who got me going in the first place and continued to be a part of the company. And he was always lecturing me about, you know, la comptabilité, Tony, la comptabilité. And which he knew I was hopeless at. But he knew Barbara was really good. So, you know, between and Barbara and I didn't disagree. We just thought we'd grow steadily. You know, early on, people had said the old things, like on the wine business, you know, you can never make money out of wine, not real money. And, you know, the old thing, any way to make a small fortune in wine is to start with a large one. Yeah. And all these old things. And so, fair enough, I'm not going to make any money. And then also back then, people pointing out, you do know the top tax rate is 98%, don't you? What's the point? That was all the reason for doing it in such a nice way. I mean, the drives around France, I mean, you know, I'd have paid to do that. Lots of people would. It's wonderful. That was our return. So growing gradually, going from one region to another, there was a lot to explore around France. I think I've done every little wine region in France in my time. Even the tiny ones no one's ever heard of. I love those places. Mm-hmm. And then going to Spain and drifting around Spanish areas, and then Italy. Italy's so much. And Eastern Europe, by a fluke, sort of started doing Bulgarian wine. Very important for us at the time.
Mm. But they were producing quite good quality wines at very cheap prices.
It was amazing deals. I mean, at one point it was like two-thirds of our business, Bulgarian Cabernet, for a year, I think. It was just too good. Why would anybody want to buy anything else?
Yep.
Can't seem to get it anymore. I don't know why. Well, something's gone wrong. But, obviously, you know, began to go further afield. The New Zealand government paid for a flight in the early days out there, and that was an eye-opener. Popped over to Australia, and that was an eye-opener. Went to California. Oh, you know, so I was having the time of my life, really. Barbara was running the business and doing all the hard stuff, and other people were. And, you know, I was doing the travelling, doing the buying, doing the writing, photography. But I loved doing all that. But unfortunately, then I had a heart attack.
Oh, really? When was that?
That was in 88.
Yep.
There'd been a tragedy. The guy who was like my right-hand man, Tim Bleach, on one of our trips, well, he was on his own on a trip in Spain. He crashed, and we lost him. And it was very upsetting. Anyway, I had a heart attack. And, you know, the guy said, well, if I were you, I'd sell your business and, you know, go take a nice walking holiday in the south of France. And I said, well, no, I think I'll keep the business, because after all, going around the south of France, what I do anyway.
Yeah.
But I would have to sort of not work at the high pressure anymore.
Mm-hmm.
So Barbara had to work at very high pressure for a couple of years and really pull in a bit more money. For 20 years, we didn't take any money out of the business. For 20 years, we didn't really make any decent profit. But then she did it. She had to at the end. And with that, we were able to go out and hire a bunch of managers. Prior to that, it was just her and me.
Yep.
Mom and pop, as they say. But then we got these managers in, and they were a bloody good team. They took us from when we sort of pulled back, it was about 15 million turnover, to more or less that same team went, it was well over 200 million before that team sort of changed.
Okay, that's quite big change, isn't it?
Change.
That's good. You must have had a good infrastructure in the first place, or did the management team have to build that or?
Well, there'd probably be debate about that, but
I'm sure they'll take all the credit.
It's called Greg Hodder, who came in as managing director. We said to Greg, look, we think it's a rough diamond, our business. I mean, most of the ideas, the way in which we sold wine, it all I'd been involved by then.
Mm.
We were doing our special offers and all the sort of stuff you still see us doing. But it was a bit rough. So Greg, polish it, please. And he did. He basically, he focused. We used to call him Mr. Focus. He just focused on what really, really mattered and what really, really worked. And they all did. And it grew. And it grew extraordinarily. But still only at sort of 20, it never went over, I don't think, 20% growth. But, you know, as you get going 20%, the graph goes like that.
Yeah, it's compounded.
It goes rocketing up and, you know, bloody hell. It can be surprising.
Okay. And was Greg, because you guys went on an acquisition trail, you had your Sunday Times Wine Club, but then a while ago you bought Avery of Bristol's and Virgin Wines. Was that Greg who was driving that, or what was the reason? Because it had been organic growth, you know, 20% organic growth, and then all of a sudden you started buying businesses or buying brands. What's the change there?
I was very keen on this, but not perhaps for the reason you might think. I felt that it kind of got in a bit of a groove. Focusing is fine because it really does work, you know. I mean, you just concentrate on one thing, it will work better. But over a period of years, you know, you're still doing the same thing. And like in business, everything changes all the time. I was fine with change. I love change. I mean, I would change everything like every day if I could. But they won't let me. I think Greg saw it from a growth point of view that, you know, growth, well, we could get growth by acquisition. I saw it from, we get a load of new ideas in us because we saw companies that seemed to be really good and do things a bit differently. But we could acquire them. That, you know, we didn't pay much for any of them. What I was hoping was we'd get a lot of fresh ideas and people. And we did to a certain extent.
I read an article you wrote that one of the reasons for Virgin Wine was to get the manager at the time, the guy who started Virgin Wines, on board.
Yeah, Rowan. Yeah. Yeah, well, I mean, he's an ideas guy. And you want ideas. We ourselves, I felt we're not generating the ideas anymore. I had plenty. It's a very difficult relationship, the owner of a business and the chairman of the company and the managing director. It's not easy.
Yeah.
And, our relationship was fine. You know, we stuck at it, actually. We didn't give up on it. And, it all ended very amicably and so on and so forth.
There is always that tension, isn't it?
There's a tension. Oh, it's an inevitable tension. We hired a marriage guidance counsellor. She was good. She helped.
What, for Barbara and you, or for you and
No,
business?
No, for me and Greg. No, Barbara and I work it out between us.
Some people say that tension can be quite creative.
Yeah, I think it can. I think we'll always have it, you know. We have a new managing director now. We have a wonderful one. I think there's always going to be the odd little tension. There's not much but at the moment, but you never know.
So the change to an acquisition strategy wasn't, there wasn't a lot of money invested in it, but you did get your after ideas and people, really.
And we obviously we did acquire some growth,
yeah.
But probably not as much as it sounds. But they've done very well since. I think we put in some our ideas into them, and there was a certain amount of tidying up had to be done. It has to be said. Acquire companies quite cheaply. There's usually, you know, reasons why.
Yeah.
We put in our people, and they've done very well since. Very, very well.
Oh, that's it. So I suppose what you're trying to do is take those businesses that weren't exactly overperforming and put your infrastructure in place behind the scenes.
Not so much infrastructure, because they still run independently, you know. I mean, yeah. They have their own buyers, they have their own wines.
I was on the Bristol's of Avery website earlier today, and they still position themselves as a family business. There's no mention of...
John's still there, and Mimi. And they were a fact. I mean, you know, I knew his father. Oh, Ronald, a remarkable family. But no, we don't.
Your current brands at the moment are obviously Laithwaite, Sunday Times Wine Club, Bristol of Avery's, Virgin Wines. Have I missed one? Oh, Barclays. Do you still do the Barclays?
No, we do. Yes, we do wine clubs for Barclays, and we do it for British Airways, and we do it for the National Trust, and well, like, you know, quite a lot of people. But some are bigger than others.
Yeah. Fair enough. And recently you've expanded into New York. You've done a deal very similar to the Sunday Times Wine Club with the Wall Street Journal.
Mm.
How's that progressing?
Very well. Wonderfully well. It's just like sort of rerun of 1973 again.
Except with more complexity with the regulations and shipping wine around the States.
Oh, don't tell me. Yes, that is, you have to be so good at all that. We did acquire a company in America, excellent little company, who'd been trading across America for many, many years and basically had worked out how to do it painstakingly, carefully. There's no easy way. It involves a lot of time and people and being absolutely, totally above a reproach. Muck about over there. And it works. It has worked, I don't know, for 40 years or so for them and now for us. And the guy who we bought the company off is still with us and helping. He's terrific. He knows what he's doing backwards. And we simply sent our top guy from here, the guy who'd been running the Sunday Times Wine Club for years, we sent him to aid, all right, you know, fancy doing it all over again? And he did because, you know, all the mistakes that he'd made. Sorry, I didn't make a lot of mistakes, but, you know.
No, you do make mistakes.
You do make mistakes. And
you don't learn.
He loving it, second crack at the whip. It's going faster because he knows what not to do.
Yeah. And are you guys looking at Hong Kong as well? Are you in Hong Kong yet?
Yeah, we have an office in Hong Kong.
What's the tie-up there? Have you got a newspaper there that you're looking to tie up?
Yes, or? The South China Morning Post. We've got a wine club with them. And we also done a few deals with other groups, banks. And it's small, but then Hong Kong's not that big. But obviously, you know, you can imagine why we're there. It's the most exciting place, I have to say. You know, a lot of what we do, well, what I want to do, perhaps I won't incriminate anybody else with me, I just want to do things that are really exciting now. World domination per se is not really a big turn on, but I've loved going to Hong Kong. It reminds me of the old days. It's just so, they're so buzzing and excited. Barbara and I came back from just a few days there and we felt like we'd been rejuvenated. It's really good. And, you know, that's across, as far as we got something about to start in South Korea. Lovely guy there. Going to do things in a very original way.
Different to the other models and things that you've done?
Yeah, you take some of the same, but every country is different. And, well, it's always interesting to try new ways to do it. We're trying to do that in this country. We're trying to change. We'll be changing a lot in this country because, as I said earlier, you can't keep on doing the same old thing forever. After a while, it winds down. Well, sure. You get copied and people get bored.
Sure. You're in quite a number of countries. Is the growth of the company coming from overseas now? Is the UK market quite mature?
That's a nice way of putting it. Mature. Yeah, well, it's kind of tough here at the moment. I mean, it's not only the competition. It's mostly the government being dreadful to us, you know. Same time putting out stuff saying how alcohol, you know, wine's really bad for you, and at the same time taking so much money off us. Yeah. I mean, it's ludicrous. You know, you'd think they couldn't have their cake and eat it, but they can.
They make the rules.
Yeah. What it really is here for us is marking time is that we have to put in a lot of changes here in order to, because we've got to change the way in which we work, and we are doing. We know what we've got to do. Mm. We've tried it. We've tested it. We know exactly what the new sort of model looks like, but you know, it takes a while. It's quite a big company now. You've got to get the right people. You've got to put in all the hours creating stuff. I mean, we've just got a new website up. I mean, that takes forever. When all websites came out, and people say, "Oh yeah, it'd be really cheap, won't it? You know, cut out all that paper." It isn't. It's
quite hard.
It's very hard.
So, can you tell us what the new model is, or the change? Some of the changes.
It is going away from full-page ads saying these wines for 39, 49 quid, whatever. Boom, that's it. Really, in order to attract and to keep customers, and keeping customers is the key to it all. Thank God we do. But to attract the new customers, you've got to do things in a much deeper way. It's no good just saying, here's a bottle and it's 40% off.
Yeah.
That's not going to get customer retention. So we have to do more. Well, that involves in having a really, really good website, which I say we have a new website now, but all the material has got to be done for it. I mean, my life's changed. I'm going to Chile and Argentina next week. And in the past, I'd have gone maybe with the buyer. We'd have taken a camera and maybe photographed each other, but that's all different now. So we're going with Well, I think it's probably too much.
Film crew?
It's like we're going with like 7 or 8 people.
Really?
But, you know, we'll be doing vineyards and doing enough stuff so that when the customer comes, Chilean wine, what's that? And they can go on and they can see it really up close.
Yep.
You'd understand that.
Like, we do audio, mainly because Jane, my wife, reckons I've got a face for radio.
How unfair.
Yeah, I know. But, yeah, people, you can connect with things a bit better if you hear them rather than, yeah, reading's good, but.
I couldn't agree more. I'm much happier doing audio than, it's not that they're going to be videoing me, it's videoing the people and
yep.
showing the places and whatnot. But the sound is very good.
Excellent, Tony. I think we'll wrap it up there. Thank you very much for your time.
Pleasure. And come again.